24 Cross Media. And we are back, G-Mac and Winnie, coming at you with another edition of the Outlaw Blitz podcast. Big fella, let's get dangerous.
Let's get dangerous indeed, my man. What is going on in your world today?
Today, it is a little bit achy out there.
It went from about 60 and sunny to, I would guess right now, about 45 and rainy in a matter of an hour and a half. And listen, it's the season right now. I get it.
Yeah.
I'm thankful for the week we had last week because the week before that was so horrible.
Right.
And maybe now I can knock on wood and say we turned the corner.
It's supposed to snow tonight.
No, it's not.
It is.
Come on, it bro. Is.
Like how one much? To three.
That sucked my balls.
I know. And that's what I'm worrying about. Like the it's starting. Fuck? I know. Well, you shut the fuck up with this snow prediction.
Bro, I just want to turn the corner. Just a little turn. That's all I need. A little turn.
But it's so warm down. Like my nephew's in North Carolina, your dad's in Myrtle Beach. It's like they're getting 90-degree days down there.
Yeah, I got to spend time with my mom on Friday night. Her and my niece got tattoos.
Nice.
And then I brought my mom to the airport yesterday.
Oh, cool.
So she flew out of Stewart. I didn't realize how fucking small the airport is.
Yeah.
Until you're there and you're like IXL's bigger.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The building it is, itself. It is. It's crazy small.
Yeah, and they do international flights out of there.
They do.
They got good flights to Ireland and stuff out of there.
It's funny. It's the shithole of Newburgh.
And yeah, but you don't even see it.
You don't because
you come you off go the down thruway right to
long
the
long ass road.
Yep.
To the airport. And it's like, holy shit. And she was saying yesterday. I talked to my dad last night. 80 and sunny there. Beautiful already.
Yeah.
Got my weekend picked out to go down there.
Oh yeah, when's that?
It's gonna be the week that. The Sawyers play Red Hook on that Thursday.
Oh, that Thursday afternoon.
Right. So I'm going to fly out that Friday, and they're playing Duquesne that weekend.
Yo, homeboy.
So
I think that might be a good weekend to visit Coastal Carolina.
Absolutely.
I mean, I do have a quarterback that's in the system.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is, and I told my dad, if you can somehow get down for that game, we got a chance to see Coastal twice because they're coming to Army later in the year.
Oh, right.
So to try to get them tickets when they come out. How do you go about getting Army tickets? Can you just buy
them? Yeah, they're for sale right now. They're for sale on, they have season tickets and stuff, but single game tickets too.
Nice.
What the fuck did I ever do with that South Carolina, the Coastal Carolina sweatshirt I got, remember?
Oh, that's a nice one.
I haven't even worn a thing.
Yeah, you bought it and then it got warm out. Oh, no, you bought it and then I never saw it again. That's right. You bought it when I was there.
Right.
You didn't wear it all winter long.
I don't know where it is.
What the fuck?
Like, I try to wear a different sweatshirt like every day.
Right.
Where is it?
I don't know.
That's I just weird. Thought I just thought
You're
about
going
that.
Going to hunt for that thing later.
Yeah, it was like an off white with the teal fucking thing on it and the chandelier.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow.
Damn.
So where the fuck did that thing go?
I don't know.
Oh, good.
It's with that Nathan Todd dog.
Yeah, oh, bro.
Next week I have a request.
What's your request?
I want to come into center field.
Are you on this baseball thing again?
Dude, I'm so happy right now. Opening day is, 4 days away?
Thursday. Not even.
3 days away, Thursday.
Yeah. And Volpe, that's not a problem. Volpe made the team.
The roster. That's cool.
And where what's he?
Shortstop.
So he's going to be I think it's the Jeter-esque
I think
type
he's
thing.
Keeping his spring training number. 77.
Really?
Yeah, I think he may keep his number.
Why can't we just add that together and make it 14? Give me something to
it's
root
already
for.
Retired.
14?
Yeah.
For who? Bucky Dent?
Maybe it's not.
Lou Piniella?
Piniella wore it, but it would have had to been after.
No, because Pat Kelly had
That's
it.
Right. It's not retired.
Yeah, it's not retired. Did Granderson have it too?
God, I hope not. No, he was 24.
No, that was Cano.
Oh, it was Cano.
Anyway. Yeah, no, it was. So that's kind of going on, like a little bit achy. I do want to give a kind of thumbs up. Here's one thing. I don't know if you noticed on the Facebook page, like we're both admins on it.
Yeah.
A lot of fans are starting to find us.
Yeah.
It's pretty weird.
Yeah.
People are starting to really like find us. And
not those Nigerian princes.
No, no. And
we get some of them too.
We do get some of them. The TikTok of Dirtbag.
Yeah.
Blew up.
Yeah.
It like it went like viral in a weird way.
Yeah.
It went from like where we get our normal couple hundred.
Maybe 1,000.
Maybe 1,000 to like 10,000 views. Yeah. And we're like, what happened here?
This is the second biggest one. The one that was bigger was when you were on the guys in Ireland.
Yeah.
And that went big. Yeah. Podcast. What was it? Podcastium or.
What are you talking about?
The magazine thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
That went like to 20-something thousand
in
a day.
Yeah, and for some reason, we're still banned on TikTok. Like, if you try to go on with Outlaw Blitz,
that's
they're like,
so weird.
You're banned. And I don't know why.
I don't either.
But if you get a chance and you're listening to this and you
go. You know what happens when you get banned on TikTok? You open an OnlyFans.
Yeah, we need to.
So we're doing OnlyFans.
Foot Finder.
That's it.
Yeah. Somebody will like us.
CrustyToenail.com.
No, my feet are all right.
Mine are not.
Mine are good.
Clubs.
Yeah, but you don't have like a fucking fungus nail or something.
No, when I cut my nails, but
they're. Yeah, all right. So, I mean.
Club feet.
Maybe be all right.
Fred Flintstone shit.
Yeah. You don't know, man. People got their freaks shit on. But if you get a chance. And you're listening to this and you want to have a good night out and laugh and feel good about a movie when you leave, go see the movie Champions. Woody Harrelson is a basketball coach. He gets in some trouble and they give him community service and he has to go teach mentally challenged. He has to go coach a mentally challenged basketball team who's playing in a special like Olympics for basketball. Like,
yeah.
And think of like The Ringer, but like more serious and more not about Woody. It centers around Woody Harrelson, but it's really about the players.
Right.
And those players and how they, it's informative as well. How they blend into everyday life, how they have jobs and they're in a band. And it goes into depth where The Ringer did not.
Yeah.
You know, The Ringer was more about Johnny Knoxville and that whole character.
And the stupidity. Yeah.
Where this is about, you know, how these guys blend into everyday and how this, you know, this is a big part of their life.
Right.
You know, and oh my God, I laughed. I had like that, just that warm heart kind of smile through a lot of the movie.
Yeah.
Shit was coming. But the one part, and you'll see if you watch the preview, the guy comes off and he's like, "Coach, I think I need to come out." He's like, "No, you're playing great. Get back in here." He goes, "No, but it's my finger." And his finger's like
pointing.
Yeah. He's like, left. "Oh, yeah, you need the trainer." "No, I want to play, coach." "Pah, I'm good." Oh. He goes back in.
Jesus.
You'd appreciate it, though. It was pretty awesome. And Woody Harrelson's still in fucking great shape, bro.
It's crazy because this would be his third movie now associating him with basketball.
White Men Can't Jump.
Yep.
This. The champion.
Semi-pro. He played Ed Mylett.
Oh, yeah. And champions.
Now this. And now, is he a player?
Current? He's a coach.
He's a coach. Okay. Yeah.
He's a coach in the J League.
the G League.
Yeah, but they call it J.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, and then he's there. And yeah, I mean, it's a really cool story. It's fun. It's very doable, and I think you'd enjoy it.
Nice.
Good movie.
I can actually tell you, I walked out of The Ringer.
Really?
Yeah. First time I saw it, I don't know what it was.
It bothered you?
Yeah, 5 minutes in, I'm like, yeah, I can't take this today, and I'm out. Johnny Knoxville got on my nerves real fucking quick.
Oh, you're mad, or you were annoyed, or you were like, you thought it was inappropriate?
I thought it was like mocking a little bit.
Right, but then after you really see it, you know, and then what he did for everybody in that?
Right. It took longer. Like, I've seen the whole movie, obviously, since then, but. Yeah, and that's. I think that's like the Johnny Knoxville shock value thing back then.
Right.
He's matured as an actor now. He's actually a pretty good actor. But, no, Woody Harrelson's awesome, so I'll give that a shot for sure.
Yeah, and it's like one of these things that's barely known. Like, we went to go to the movies, and it was 12:30 and 5:15. That's it.
Two showings, that's it.
Two showings.
Damn.
And it's like, you know, come on. Like, you're not giving it a fair shot.
Right, right.
You know, you got seven theaters playing Saw 6. It's not even Halloween time. What are we doing here?
There's another Saw out?
Apparently.
Oh, my God.
I didn't even know.
They'll both be on streaming in 3 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy. Wow.
So what made you pick this week's top five?
Maria Lucas?
Yeah. You get here and we're not going to dive into too much stuff, but we've been busy.
Right.
We've been extremely busy behind the scenes doing a lot of things going on that's not out in the open. And we're working on it. And and everybody will know sooner than later.
And what's funny is all the other segments we do, it's easier to draw and put a segment together. This one becomes tasking because
we've done 128 of them.
Right. So that's when it's nice to branch out and ask other people, hey, like if you were to do a top five list, give me some ideas. And it's good. I mean, listen, not for nothing, people say, oh, well, if it's our local top five. Mine spans, I think, Dutchess and Ulster. But people forget, the Hudson Valley is a big travel destination.
It is.
So people that listen that are coming to the area are going to hear, hey, right, let's go try that place. So, right.
Well, how many people came up to Snyder's Bakery because of our food review?
Right. So I'm all about it.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, and that was it, and I get it, and I think we've done versions of this before. Yeah,
probably.
But not this.
Not this specific this one.
This specific one, so yeah.
Right.
All
right,
so let's work right into our...
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
This week's top five, the top five favorite local restaurants.
All
right. And you said Dutchess, you have a couple,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm glad to start. Actually, looking at it now, I have... one in Green, one that is in three different counties, and three in Dutchess. So my number five is Charlie O's in Red Hook.
Okay.
For people who want like a cool sports bar vibe, great food. It's a little, I don't call it upscale. They have different items. They have duck wontons. They have, I love the sriracha honey Brussels sprouts.
Yep.
Sandwiches, flatbreads, burgers, wings, chili, whatever you want, plus steak dinners. We went there for steak that one night. The cool thing is the history of the building was the old Lyceum Theater.
Yeah.
And they
took, no, not the Lyceum.
No, that was the original Lyceum.
Oh, the original Lyceum. The original Lyceum. Yeah.
So apparently there was a lot of movie paraphernalia left behind because it is completely decorated.
Oh, with the posters and all
the
that.
The old style movie posters. And movie paraphernalia. So, cool environment, nice wide open space, big bar,
and
great food.
Yeah. My number five, it's crazy. You're going to be like, get the fuck out of here. The Mid-Hudson Buffet.
Yo, there's something for everybody there.
You know, and here's the thing. And friends of mine and family that have gone, I've gone to Florida to like these massive buffets, and it's nowhere near as good.
Right.
Just not as good.
I think.
And it's hard to find
a good buffet.
A good buffet. And do I think it's the cleanest thing in the world? No, but the food is delicious.
Right.
There.
When you get bigger as a buffet, generally your quality is going to go down because you're putting so many more items out that are going to get thrown away at the end of the day.
Right.
Are you getting top level ground beef? Are you getting top level?
No.
You're not.
You're not.
You're absolutely not. With these guys,
it's their staples and people come for there for that.
Their
stuff.
Sushi is very good.
Yep.
That the big grill thing they have.
Oh yeah, no, they got a hibachi where you can just
is great.
Yeah, you choose absolutely it and have it cooked how you want.
And the ice cream.
And it is sentimental to me in a way because my dad used to take our entire family, and I don't mean like me, my mom, my sisters. I mean me. You know, he'd get my sisters, their kids, me, my kids, my cousin. I mean, like the whole family before Christmas, just to say, hey. This way, everybody can eat something that they like,
right,
you know, because they have other stuff that's not Chinese food either. Right. He go and then everybody went there, and he would take us before Christmas every year.
It was a staple, I remember.
Right, like it was just a tradition. We went there, everybody hung out, you know, and there's people you haven't seen like all year, and then here they come, and then that night.
Right.
So it's kind of, you know, that was kind of sentimental. So my number five, Mid-Hudson Buffet.
Cool. Like it a lot. Number four for me, the Ever-Ready Diner in Rhinebeck. Or Hyde Park. It's in Hyde Park. I'm sorry.
I think we went there one time on a football trip or something. We
probably did. It's actually been featured on Guy Fieri's
Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. That's why I think we went there.
Right. Talk about a diner. They have, I couldn't even, if I tell you it's the menu is 8 pages, it might be 10.
Right.
Of crazy stuff. They're really known for their bake. They have their own bakery on premises. All their baked stuff is slamming. Their macaroni and cheese was my go-to there. It's phenomenal. But again, you go to a true diner, they're not 24 hours, but they've got anything and everything. You can't, it's impossible to walk out of there, A, hungry because the portions are crazy.
Right.
And not finding something that anybody could want.
Yeah. And that's, if you're not.
From the Northeast.
Yeah. I was going to say, because like it's kind of exclusive to the Northeast. If you're down south, you're probably thinking like a Waffle House or something or a. Well, yeah, I think what's the other one? It's Waffle House, and there's like a Denny's or something. Yeah,
Shoney's.
Yeah, it's real diners are different. Like you could have a really good meal at a diner, not just a greasy spoon.
Right, and you could have a steak at 2 a.m. or 10 a.m. or waffles.
You could have waffles at 5 p.m. Yeah, right, it doesn't matter. No, I hear you. My number four, Christina's in Kingston.
Okay,
it used to be Guido's.
Right,
then it went to the daughter's name, Christina's.
Yep.
Don't go there nearly enough. Always go there on Mother's Day. My mom likes it there. I always get the chicken parm. They have great chicken parm. They have great salad. Nice environment. You know what I mean? I'm probably usually underdressed going there because I'm just jeans and t-shirt guy. But right. Very good food and a very good price with good people. Same family keeps owning it and, you know, keep coming back.
That's the telltale sign of a good restaurant.
Right.
Same family for 30 years. They're clearly there for a reason.
Yep.
My number three is Rip Van Winkle Brewing Company,
which we've been there. Actually
friends of a friend of ours. His family owns it.
Yeah.
Great food. I remember back in the day, they were the Pioneer Pancake House in Angela's.
Angela's. We went there after golf. Now it's the brewing company. Yeah. It's really turned a corner.
Great beer, upscale pizzas, still good Italian staple food. It was, I think we went once or two years for Christmas up there,
yep,
with everybody and had a good time. Chris said he had a beer there that reminded him of like water where somebody put out Marlboros. It was a smoked beer.
Yeah.
And I agree with him. It was not good. That one
no,
was
like,
good.
Why do you mess with shit like that?
Right. Let that go. This was a smoked porter of some kind of off.
Yeah.
But their IPAs are good. And their food is great. So.
Yeah. No. And their wings and their pizzas are really good up there too. My number, three?
Yep.
Number three is the Main Street restaurant in Saugerties. They have great chimichangas and the best Tres Leches cake.
I've been to it since it's been Main Street, but it was many years ago. So I don't know if it's different owners now or what. But
Kevin Williams' sister owns it.
Okay. Chris and Hannah go there on the regular. They love it. Say the same thing. Food's always good, always consistent.
You know how impatient of a person I am.
You can be.
I don't mind waiting at Main Street. Because like when they bring you chips to the table, you watch them make the chips. They throw them in the broiler. Awesome. They come out and then they cut them up and then they put them in the basket. And they got great salsa.
Nice.
So like you start off with a really good salsa to start. And then their portions are good. Their food is delicious. And, you know, it's a cozy, nice little spot.
Nice. My number two, the Duchess Barbecue Bistro and Bar. It's in Poughkeepsie. It's out by, in the vicinity of the Poughkeepsie Airport.
Yep.
We stumbled upon it on restaurant.com one time. We were just looking for different restaurants.
Yeah.
And we've gone there for Valentine's Day a few times. We've gone there for anniversary. Always very consistent. Great barbecue. Cool little, just a good overall atmosphere, cool little like design, decorations in the middle of the place. A lot of times if you go on the weekend, they got live music as you're there eating. Nothing bad to say, always good food.
Cool. My number two, the Barnwood in Catskill.
Is that off 23A?
Yeah, it's up there somewhere. Right off 23A. And
right.
Then, yeah, good barbecue spot. They have good pizza. Beers are inexpensive.
Right.
They have these corn nugget things that I put them on the table, and I'm like, yo, guys, try something. They're like, nah, what is it? I'm like, it's a corn nugget or whatever, you know. And, like, I went to the bathroom. I came back, and, like, my mom, my brother-in-law, my son, my daughter, they were gone. The basket was gone. I'm like, you guys went from you didn't want any to the basket's completely gone. Right. So, you know, it's that barbecue style. Like you're sitting at a picnic table right. type thing. And, you know, but that if you like pulled pork and ribs and shit that's like that, that's a great spot.
Right. So now we've covered barbecue in Greene and Dutchess counties.
Yeah.
My number one, I know you've been there too, Savona's, the restaurant, not the pizza place.
Where you got married?
Where I got married. But they've got that restaurant there. There's one in Poughkeepsie by Bard College. There's also one in Red Hook. And there's now one in Hudson.
Oh, nice.
So he's got four of them. Great down, great classic grandma's Italian cooking. Have never had a bad meal there. Steven and his staff have always treated us super well. Like I said, to the point where that's where we had our wedding and we had a blast there.
Right.
Nothing but great things to say. Anybody in the area, head on down to the Strand and visit them and have some really, really good Italian food.
And my number one, right across the street, pretty much, the Golden Ginza.
Yeah.
If you hibachi,
want,
man.
If you want hibachi, go there. Yeah. If you want Italian, go across the street. Yeah. They're both.
Golden Ginza, a lot of good memories, like with my kids and, you know, the show.
Right.
You know, you're here for the show. Pretty embarrassing. I just talked about this. I was talking about this yesterday. I remember one night, Farrar and I, and it was my girlfriend at the time and his wife, but I think, and his wife. We went and we destroyed an entire huge boat of sushi and another half boat in 17 minutes.
Damn.
It was like $200 worth of sushi.
Holy shit.
And, you know, it just came out, and we looked like a pack of fucking scavengers on it.
There, oh, man.
I don't know how we didn't have mercury poisoning.
That's awful. Staying on the same wavelength, there is a place down in Poughkeepsie across from Hurricane Wings, which I think we've gone to once or twice, that does all-you-can-eat sushi for like $35.
Right.
Oh, my God. And we went down. It was us and I think my brother-in-law and his girlfriend and the kids. And, yeah, we just, like, Titanic-sized boats of fucking sushi.
Yeah.
You just destroy it.
Oh, it was sank.
It was, yeah. Yeah. Totally. So, listen, it just goes to show that.
And these were just, like, roughly, you know, like, we could go best pizza places.
Right.
Like, I think Dallas is one of the better restaurants around, but it has its own thing.
It's a niche.
Right. And what do you love about Dallas? It's clean. It's cost effective. And
it's the same.
It's the same. You know the menu.
Yep. Every time I know
they need better napkins, though.
Right. Every time I know exactly how the hot dog's going to taste.
Yep. Yeah.
And
no.
That's why you go back.
It's enjoyable, you know, and it's. I like this top five because it's not doing sports. It's not doing, you know, like we do sports and movies so much that like it's nice to get.
And again, listeners in the area. Hop on Facebook and give us some recommendations, too, because...
Right, or challenge us, because we go and do food reviews.
Right, we're guys that love to go out and try different things, clearly.
And I'm going
to
tell you, right now, I know, I've already been... You don't know, but I know.
Okay.
A food truck already issued a challenge.
I heard this.
Oh, you did?
Vaguely, yes. Okay. I didn't hear it was a challenge,
but hey, we want you to come do this review at this food truck. And I said... Winnie Absolutely. Will be there.
Yep, I know. He's usually stationed by Academy Green.
Yeah.
Yep. I know exactly where it is.
Yep. And that's all everybody's guessing this up this all right. week.
We're at it.
I'm like, well, when are we doing this? I said, we'll be out there with the camera. Don't worry.
Absolutely.
We'll get her figured out.
Hell yeah.
All right. Let's move along. After being deaf. Five crazy questions sponsored by Scalable Computers. This week brought to us by Winnie.
All right. Number one, have you ever unwrapped and rewrapped a gift bearing your name?
What do you mean? Like just be a re-gifter?
No. Like
something that says George and you gave it to another George?
No, something that says George. You knew it was for you. You unwrapped it so you could see what it was and rewrapped it.
Oh, hell yes.
Okay.
Hell yes. I could tell you the exact thing it was, too.
Okay.
It was bases loaded baseball because I wanted it so bad. And I think I got it where the tape came up without pulling the paper. And I was like, yes, I got that fucking
Was it Christmas time?
Christmas game. Okay. Yep. I got bases loaded for baseball.
I did it. Sorry, Dad, but I did it for my Heat. Miami Heat starter jacket.
Yeah.
Number two, what would you paint on your first day if you were an artist?
Oh, man. The Outlaw Blitz logo.
Okay. Cool. cool.
Yeah, I mean, if I was a real artist, that's crazy. I don't know. I think I would just aimlessly paint and whatever it came out.
Okay. So you like abstract or it could turn into something.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
I think like, I would probably go for like a beachy scene, the ocean, something to that effect, because I love it that much.
Yeah.
But that'd be cool. Abstract style, that'd be sweet.
Yep.
Number three, fuck, marry, kill. Ruth from Ozark, Rachel Ray, and Drew Barrymore.
Oh, well. Easy.
Okay.
I am going to fuck Rachel Ray.
Nice.
I am going to marry Drew Barrymore. Okay. And I'm going to kill Ruth.
When she screamed,
you're going to have to fucking kill me, I would just go, bang. No problem.
Right.
Come here, Drew. Rachel, I'll be with you in a few minutes.
Either or, I think you're winning either way with the other two.
Yeah.
Because they both look like they would be awesome.
Yeah, but Drew's more like our age, our speed. I love her in any Adam Sandler movie, her and him.
Yes.
She's like a crush in those movies.
Totally.
Side note before you go on to your next question. Did you see where her, Adam Sandler, and Jennifer Aniston are talking about not rebooting but redoing Three's Company as them three?
That'd be great.
That would be fucking awesome.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Like, everybody's like, yes. Absolutely. Yes.
Yep. That's a match made in heaven right there. We're man. Number four, how do you personally define being successful?
It's multifold. I don't think I'm successful in my professional life. You know, like, I have a career, yes, that other people don't have. Yes, fine, cool, whatever. But it's not successful for me. Like, for me, I think there should be other things. I think this should be bigger. I think you take more chances and you reward yourself, right? That's that success. As a parent, I think I'm extremely successful. You know, knock on wood, my kids are great kids. They're doing very well for themselves, and they're positive, productive people in the world.
Right.
So I think in that aspect, that's successful.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? You know, in my personal life, you know, like me as a person, it's a work in progress.
There's
times where I think I'm successful in things, and there's times where I completely destroy myself.
This is where, yeah, because successful and fulfilled kind of lie on that same level.
Mm-hmm.
You can feel fulfilled, but not necessarily be 100% successful because you're happy
right.
in what you're doing.
And there's other times where I've sacrificed my own success in things to make sure other people had theirs.
Right.
Even at a cost to myself.
Right.
And now I'm all about for me.
Right.
Like we're in a point where we can retire from our regular career in a short amount of time.
Yep.
And I'm about getting to that next step where this is the important parts for me. I want my personal success and my fulfillment.
Right.
And things, and I want somebody to share it with.
Right.
Not where I'm solely pushing behind somebody and they don't have my goals and my needs and my success and my fulfillment
right.
in their heart.
Right.
I need it both ways.
Right. And I think we're both getting to a point where our kids are going to find their own success and have their own fulfillment.
Right.
It's going to give you that time and ability to be able to really sit down and focus
yeah.
on what's going to make you feel fulfilled and successful. So yep. good answer. Number five. This one, I was laughing as I was typing it because I honestly don't know which I'd rather have. But would you rather have a nagging cough that lasted 1 year or a patch of dry skin that's constantly itchy for 6 months?
Oh, the patch of dry skin.
Seriously?
That fucking cough would dry. Your ribs would hurt every day.
Oh, that's the thing. The severity of the cough, I think, would make me choose because I fucking hate dry skin.
Have you been around anybody that coughs consistently?
It can annoy the shit out of you. I know that.
It drives you nuts.
Yeah.
And like, and it drives them nuts.
Yeah.
You know, I know people that had COVID. And since they have COVID, it's always, and I'm like, oh my God, this, what the fuck?
Cough and get it up.
Yeah. Like, can I just hit you in the throat with a baseball bat and kill the frog? Like, what the fuck
are we doing?
Yeah. You know, so, yeah, a patch of dry skin, itch, and I get it. Like, we all get it. Like, I get it on my finger a lot. Like, I don't know why, but it's on this one. I don't know if, you know, people get eczema and shit. I don't want any of that. Right. So, right, none of that. I'm just saying I would deal with that better than a cough for
October,
a year.
October to April, my fucking back
gets, like, is dry.
So dry that the hot shower, like on Poison Ivy,
yeah,
makes it feel good. And then Carly's got to put the lotion on.
You put the lotion on the skin. I want my lotion.
I want my lotion. Sincerely.
But listen, that is a joke that only you and I know.
That is correct.
That was a brutal, that was probably one of my worst days of my life. I wanted to fucking kill you.
Oh, that was so bad.
Yeah, you walked away, asshole, and left me there holding the bag. Yeah. I want my lotion. Is okay.
This is the guy from Virginia Tech.
Virginia Tech, yeah.
No, but back to the dry skin thing. It's definitely a change in the season when the air is a lot more drier and more, and not as, like, the summer and spring. As soon as that humidity comes back, the moisture is back in the air.
Yeah,
dry skin goes away completely. But I can, that's when I can tell the seasons are officially changed, because it is fucking.
Yeah.
Oh, it's awful.
Well, now it won't be as bad for you, right? You're coming out of it.
It's coming out of it now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
getting back. That's not bad. I was still, no way. A cough for a year? Yeah. Fuck that.
You're fucking, dude, you'd cough yourself a six-pack.
Yeah, you would. Hey, tell me you wouldn't throat punch yourself like 5 times you'd in that year.
You'd have to be dry, swallowing sand, anything to fucking get to go away.
Glass.
Yeah.
Hey, can you break up some hot glass and just pour it in that cup for me?
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, they're not, they weren't bad. They were pretty good. Get you a little depth. A little depth.
A little funny and a little thinking.
All right, you want to work into your favorite song of the week?
Let's do it.
Over and under, over and under, over and under, as we have done before.
Have we done this before?
I think we have.
Yeah, over and under, presented by Winnie. Usually we have them up on the screen. He wanted to keep them, like, kind of hidden, so I didn't know what they were, which is cool. It's usually the other way around. Right. I type them up, so.
Right. All right, number one, since it was clearly on the list at one point here for us today, barbecue spare ribs.
Barbecue spare ribs.
And then my secondary part of the question would be pork or beef?
Pork.
Okay.
Underrated. Because where else can you get them where they're like that cherry, that they got that weird sauce on them that you can't mimic anywhere else?
Yeah.
I said underrated, I got to change it. Overrated. There's not enough meat on them fucking things.
Yeah.
It's all bone, bro.
It is all bone. But the quality of the meat, and especially if you go to a good smokehouse.
I know.
It falls off the bone.
I know, like, but it's all fucking bone, bro.
Right. And to me, the two things I don't like ordering out at restaurants, one is spare ribs, two are wings, because they're messy as fuck.
Yeah.
I'd rather eat them at home.
Or just bring your own pair of gloves.
Yeah, or do that too.
We've known to wear latex gloves and eat them, and then you just throw the gloves
in. And it works well. All right, number two, dryer sheets.
Underrated.
Way underrated.
Way underrated. A, they take the static out of your clothes. B, your clothes, no, they should be better smelling.
Yeah, there should be better.
Like your laundry soap smells better. Your dryer sheets don't make your clothes smell good.
Not always.
The Suavitel has a good dryer sheet. What dryer sheet do you use?
Honestly,
I use Gain.
I use, well, if I'm buying it at the store, it's going to be the Gain ones. But Uncle B's has Snuggle.
Snuggle? They're not bad. The blue
with me, so
the blue Snuggle?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not bad.
So I bought them today. Yeah, because there's nothing like pulling your sweatshirt out of the dryer. Three socks, a pair of underwear, a t-shirt, and shorts all stuck to it.
Yeah, because it's static.
You're shocking the shit out of yourself as you're peeling them apart. Another thing where the change of season. Once spring and summer come along, no more static cling.
Yeah, but you get fucking mosquitoes and shit.
Oh, fuck them.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there's got to be a... I'm like, where is it like 75 to 83, 84... with no mosquitoes and no humidity.
Right. I don't know.
That's where I want.
Because Myrtle is balls hot. There's no bugs, but you're sweating your fucking nuts.
Yeah, I know. I know.
So, number three, the Hudson Valley.
What about?
That is over-under.
Oh, underrated. I think there's a lot to offer in what is considered the Hudson Valley.
Yep.
Would be probably anything from about exit 21B on the thruway down to like exit 16.
Yeah.
15.
Yep.
Like Monroe Woodbury up.
Right.
The Monroe, which is what, 16?
Up through
up until Coxsackie, where you go down 90 to go to Cape Cod.
Ravina, that area.
Right, yeah. There's so much to offer in there. There's a lot of really great restaurants. There's a lot of great hiking. There's a lot of great the river camping. There's phenomenal theaters in this area. Fishing. Restaurants.
Did you say fishing?
Oh yeah, fishing's one of the top.
Talk to Adam Hendricks. We are one of the top spots in the world.
Oh well,
for fishing.
Like so, my nephew Tanner lives in North Carolina, and he always goes to Boone.
Yeah,
he met like a famous fly fisherman. His girlfriend bought it for him as like a birthday present.
Yeah,
you go on, you meet the guy, and you go fly fishing, and you talk and whatever, like a private day with the guy. And the guy's like, "Hey, listen, the best fishing in the world is in Phoenicia, New York." And my nephew's like, "I fished here all the time." He's like, no, that's like the capital of like fly fishing.
Think about
and,
that.
And right, and that's in the Hudson Valley. Like, yep. You won't find more beautiful views. Right. I mean, I'm sure you can if you go to other big mountain areas. But if you're like a mountain person, but you like to fish, you're down in that water right at the base of the mountain there. Right. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful.
When I went to pick my mother up yesterday at their friend's house, Ed Brandt lives in Round Top.
Yep.
So it was off one of these roads, and you go up, and you pull into the driveway, and he has a absolutely clear, unobstructed view of the mountains. And it's fucking beautiful, bro. Beautiful.
You don't realize how big they are.
Right.
Now, do you think it's as big as the Smoky Mountains?
No, not even close.
You don't?
Nope.
Now, when I was there last year, I'm like, I don't know, man. I think our mountains are just as big.
I don't think so, because I remember being on the interstate driving in. And actually having to pan up.
And we were in a panel van. Well, we were in a Sprinter van.
Right.
With a huge windshield.
Right.
And it was like,
you're still looking up to see them.
Yeah.
Like, those are big ass mountains.
But then if you come over the Rhinecliff Bridge back into Kingston.
Right.
They look that big.
They do look that big. Yep.
So I think it's maybe because we're so close to them, you don't realize how big they are.
That could be. And they're in both beautiful mountain ranges for sure.
Yeah.
And the Berkshires are gorgeous as well.
Yep. Yep.
That you'll see as you're heading out towards the Cape on the Mass Pike.
Also known as the Bucci Mountains. I told Jern one time.
Number four, new style movie theaters.
With the heated seats and all that stuff.
Right.
Although I do like them, I still love like an old school. Me personally, one of my favorite theaters was the old.
Orpheum.
Them seats were old, but like they still had spring in them. And they sat down.
They're super springy.
Yeah, and you know it's like I'm all about that. It's right. An old theater, not wooden seat, but they had like a really thick cushion seat.
Right.
Now, when I went and saw the Champions movie the other day, I had that fucker reclined, the heat on, the whole deal. But at the same time,
I've gone to sleep in those theaters.
Oh, dude,
just because they're so comfortable.
Yeah.
But
when I was on Midnight, I used to take my kids to the movies just so I could sleep.
Knock out. Yeah.
But I snore so loud to be like, Dad, you're ruining a movie.
Another cool old theater is the one in Catskill on Main Street.
It's yes.
Just like the Orpheum.
Yeah. Yep.
I like, and it's a cool style.
Yeah, I would just say overrated because like, there's some things that if I want a recliner, I'll just watch the movie at home.
Right.
And the size they make TVs now and shit.
Which cup holder is yours?
Both.
Okay.
Fair enough. It's supposed to be the one on the right.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's because the end seat doesn't have one. So yeah,
the end seat just has that thing.
Yep.
Yeah, so it should be the one on the right.
Thing I do like about the new ones, the arms go up.
Yeah.
So for the big guy, they're big guy.
Yeah, but you know what? The arm didn't go up. I thought the arm would have went up between.
And it didn't?
No, there's certain seats where they go up, but this one did not.
Okay.
And like I was trying to like, hey.
Yeah, you might it's too put far away.
Up. Yeah, it was way too far away.
Number five, Cantaloupe.
Underrated. I like Cantaloupe.
I love Cantaloupe. We were talking about, you asked me a few weeks ago about, I think it was either Five Crazy, about what foods would you choose for like an eating contest?
And Cantaloupe?
I could do Cantaloupe.
Yeah?
Yeah. Room temperature, though. Can't be cold.
Yeah. It's kind of weird when it's cold. It gets like slimy.
Yeah. The first few Cantaloupes of the year, they're a little hard. And then you know that you get that one when you cut it and it's just fucking perfect.
Have yourself some cantaloupe. Fuck play with up. Your cock and balls for mama. Don't you remember that? God. What she called it, or Adam Sandler called it cantaloupe?
Cantaloupe.
Have some cantaloupe.
All right, I have two more. Number six.
Oh, Jesus, we're going bonus. Bonus.
Yeah, bonus two. Last week you hit me with fudge sickles. I'm hitting you with bomb pops.
Oh, fucking underrated as all underrated could be.
Yeah.
And if you haven't tried it, try the Smirnoff Red, White, and Berry. Really? It tastes like a bomb pop.
Shout out to the Paul brothers. Their prime bomb pop.
The drink.
Smoking good. Really fucking good.
I think you brought it here one day, and I was like, let me see that fucking
like
thing, and I drank
like
it.
Like a melted bomb pop.
Yeah.
Super banging. And number seven.
And that's like a Gatorade, right?
Yeah, they have energy drink version, and they have Gatorade.
I knew there was a fucking energy drink. They're like, that's not an energy drink, it's a Gatorade.
The cans are the energy drink, and the bottles are the Gatorade.
Okay.
Yep.
I knew it was an energy drink.
Yeah, they have both, yep. Number seven, one of these foods I detest more than anything on this fucking planet, cottage cheese.
Underrated.
Oh, my God.
In moments, I don't mind it. In moments, I don't mind. Like, it's not something I would eat all the time.
Right.
But there's times, like, I used to be like, what the fuck? You know, like, when you're young and you don't know anybody, you're like, what is that shit?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I end up liking it, dude. I did. It's underrated. Compared to what it looks like, it's underrated.
One food that my grandfather used to make, it was a Hungarian noodle dish called halushka. And...
A Hungarian noodle dish?
My grandfather Nick, he was Hungarian.
Okay.
It was called halushka, and it was egg noodles with bacon, onions, and cottage cheese. But because it's a hot dish and you're stirring it all up, it doesn't look like cottage cheese anymore.
Yeah.
It just kind of melts away. It was good in that. But just a straight
My up, mom, I think, uses cottage cheese in her lasagna.
Really?
And it's the same way. You don't know. It's so good.
Yeah. Well, it's mixing up with the mozzarella, I'm sure. Yeah, yeah. You can't tell.
Yep.
But by itself in a bowl, nah. My grandparents used to eat it with, like, they put pineapple or fucking strawberries or...
Yeah, but that's like putting... What's your opinion on, like, fruit in Jell-O?
In Jell-O?
Yeah.
I love Jell-O molds.
Where they have, like, fruit chunks in it?
Yeah.
No, fuck that.
Really?
Yeah, no way. That's way overrated.
I would totally do that.
No, absolutely not. That's like the boot dropping, bro.
Oh, my
You're
God.
There swishing around...
Dude. So,
and then all of a sudden you got a chunk of something.
We're at my very first
You know you've done that, right?
What?
You get the Jell-O in there and you start swishing it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. So we're at my very first Thanksgiving with Carly's parents. And it was the first year her and I were dating. Oh, was it? Yeah, the first year we started dating. On Thanksgiving that day, I had to take her to the fucking hospital because she had kidney stones.
I remember this.
So I was going back to her apartment house to watch the dog, and I was going to go back in the morning to the hospital, bring her a change of clothes, and she was coming home. So her mom stopped. She said, her mom said, listen, stop over. You can get a chance to have dinner because you brought her to the hospital. Come over and get a plate and whatever. So the next day, she comes home. We go back over for leftovers, and they're talking about this Jell-O mold that I think Carly's grandmother used to make, and it was lime Jell-O, cucumbers, and onions.
No.
In a fucking Jell-O mold.
And that's why you don't put anything in Jell-O. It's just fucking Jell-O.
So as a joke, her mom made it one time, and I had to try it just to say I tried it. It was god-awful.
Why?
I don't know. She made it as the joke.
Who would think that onions belongs in mint Jell-O?
If you go back into...
Well, don't they give you mint Jell-O?
No, it was lime Jell-O.
Or lime Jell-O. Right. Don't they give you that? Or mint is to cleanse your palate, right?
Right.
Like when you have lamb and stuff?
Right. But that was terrible. I honestly think like Jell-O molds, Bundt cakes... That all came out
Some
of like
bun
the,
cake.
That all came out like the 50s.
I like a bun cake.
Yeah, bun cakes cake, are banging.
Yeah. that you remember having a really good pineapple upside down cake at my house?
Did I?
Yeah, Dre made one.
Oh, I'm sure.
And I just remember there because there's like every year in my memories for Facebook.
Yeah,
it pops up. Fucking Highland Winnie ate my entire pineapple. And my sister Robin must have been there.
Yeah.
Because all the comments were like, oh, that was delicious. Yeah, Highland Winnie ate the whole thing. Oh. You must have got pissed drunk and ate like the whole fucking cake on us.
I love pineapple.
It was pineapple upside down.
Yeah, cake. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
I can see that being all nice
and it's moist. Probably getting ready to come around like right now. And when it does, I'm going to make sure I send it to you.
All right. Please do. All right. So there's my seven.
Not bad, man. Over unders. I like them. Me That's too. A good one. So what else we got going on before we like depart?
Rest of the week, I have a short work week. I am off Saturday.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, I took, every year when...
Oh, you got WrestleMania.
Every year when I bid, I always make sure I got WrestleMania off. So I took Saturday off. Baseball starts this week. I'm very excited now.
Excited.
This show comes out tomorrow.
Does it? Do you have it pre-ordered?
I don't have to. The cool thing with Xbox, and I don't know if PlayStation has the same thing. So you pay monthly, it's $15 for Xbox Live. Mm-hmm. And it comes with a basically like a 200 or 250 game catalog, which you download and they're free. The show is always in it.
Oh, really?
The current show is always in it. So as long as you're paying that. Like I said to Chris, that's
well, kinda... you're still getting it, dude. They're still getting their $200 a year out of you.
Right, because I'm paying for their service.
Right.
But yeah, so I don't have to worry about it. I just know at midnight tonight, I'll probably turn it on.
And let it download so you can play tomorrow.
Play tomorrow, yeah.
Yeah. No, that's cool. Boston's baseball season starts this weekend.
Yeah.
Which is cool. You know, it's here. They had a scrimmage canceled last week because the fields were just too wet.
What's he playing?
Somewhere in the outfield. I'm not that dad that goes and sits at the field and asks, and you know, sits on the coach's pocket to find out, you know, how about third base today there, coach? No, I don't care.
Wherever he plays, plays.
When he plays, he made the team. He probably won't play a lot. He's a freshman.
Yeah.
If he does, good. If he doesn't, hey, listen, it is what it is.
He's, we know he's fast already.
Yep.
I remember last year he was like a table setter.
Yeah.
He can get on and get around the bases pretty quick.
He can. He sees a lot of pitches. He's not aggressive enough in the box.
Right.
But he's gone to Elon like all off season. So, yeah. And in preseason, like one of the weeks, he was the only underclassman with the highest hard hit ball percentage.
Nice.
They would do top 10. And don't get me wrong, other, you know, for weeks. But the, you know, very rarely does underclassmen break in there.
Right.
And the one, you know, maybe they did it like five times. And one of, like, say, week three, he was like number 8 on the hard hit balls. Like 67% of them were hard hit.
Damn.
So, I mean, great. But he's too indecisive.
Right.
I'm like, you can't decide when it crosses the plate, man.
Yeah,
you gotta I'm like, know. Pick a box like 10, 15 feet out in front of you. And if it's in that box, you're fucking taking your hack.
No. I had a tremendously slow bat. Until I turned about maybe 14.
Well, you get strength to pull it through.
And that's when I became almost a dead pull hitter at that point. From center to always right. But before that, I was constantly a fucking opposite field guy because I just had a slow bat speed.
Yeah.
And I think part of it was waiting too long, not picking that pitch.
Right. Right. You're being too selective.
Right.
I'm like, dude, you get something, just pick a zone. If it's between here and here, I'm hitting the shit out of it.
Yep.
Other than that, take your best fucking hack.
and it showed later on. I'm like, later on as I grew, because I couldn't hit. I could never hit guys like, I couldn't hit Wad, Jeff Vanderbeck.
Yeah, too.
It was fucking junk. He threw junk.
Yep.
Everything that came in was, it was moving around.
TJ Kanapka.
Kept you off balance. Kids like CB who threw harder.
Yep.
Vinny Longo.
Yep.
You know, guys like that. Cove. I ended up hitting really well off of Cove later on. Because,
Ryan?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ryan threw hard.
He did, but you could Prop. You sit in the box and go.
Right.
You knew it was coming. Yeah. Get ready for it.
Yeah. No, I always did. And he does better against harder throwers.
You know, Jeff Cullen, that was the most painful baseball thing ever had happened, was fouling off his fucking curveball into the top of my foot.
Yes. That was brutal.
That's the worst.
And Jeff had a hook.
He had a hook and a half.
Yeah.
That ball jumped.
His was like a, I would say like a 3 to 7 p.m. hook. It was weird. It was low.
It was a sweeper.
It was a low.
Yeah.
Mine was more like a fucking 12-6.
Uncle Charlie.
Oh, yeah. I used to throw it intentionally at Matt Hunter's ear hole. And he would bail out and it would just go, whoop. And right, he'd be like, down. No fucking way. He would get so mad.
Yeah.
I'd strike him out on all the time. He'd stand in there swearing it was going to hit him, and it would just drop.
Yep.
It is what it was. But Jeff had a good hook.
Jeff had a damn good hook.
Another time.
Okay.
Another time. It's a funny story. It's a funny story. And it has to do with Jeff and leading off. We're doing good. We got it's only 49.
Okay.
Yeah, so I mean that starts this weekend, which is cool. Other than that, this weekend, what I'm excited for is last week we talked about me going to the NCAA tournament.
Right.
Well, two of the teams that I watched win that night are the Final Four on one side.
That's awesome.
So it's going to be UConn versus Miami this weekend.
Okay.
And, like, we kind of went over it. What UConn does well, what Miami does well. What are you doing?
Final Four is busted.
It's got to be. Unless you had San Diego State, Creighton, Miami, or UConn, it's busted.
I had Bama, Kansas State, Houston, who got beat by
Miami.
And Bama got beat by San Diego State.
Yep.
Kansas State, I don't know who they lost to.
I think they just lost to Creighton, maybe?
And Gonzaga?
Gonzaga lost, like, a couple games ago.
Yeah, so, damn.
Yeah, no, there's not everyone seeds out. The highest seed in the Final Four is a four.
I love it.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. And it makes you start to wonder if NIL is playing a deal here.
Maybe.
You know what I mean?
Very well possible.
I do want to say this. We're sports guys. It is what it is. Have you seen the Deion Sanders bench press thing that he did?
I have not.
So he's standing there, and there's some guys working out, and he's, like, standing there, and they're talking smack. And they got, like, I want to say they got, like, let me see, 225. I want to say they got, like, 245 on the bar.
Okay.
And
The combine amount is what, 2.25?
Yeah, it's either 225, but I think they put the 210s on each side, so it would be 245.
Okay.
So they're kind of talking a little bit of shit to him.
To Deion?
To Deion. Like, it's his son, and yep. It's a group of people working out. And his son's like, I don't know, man, them 10s on the side. Deion's like, oh, yo, you got to get stronger, put the 10s on, whatever. They put the 10s on. They can't really get up. Their guy's like, gets down quick, gets, like, up, but then, like, where your triceps wouldn't kick in.
Right.
He's like, oh, he drops it. So then another guy goes, he can't really move it, they rack it. Then the coach goes, the position coach goes, he bangs out like maybe three. He's like, you know, he's like struggling, gets three out, and he racks it. And then they're like, oh, and his son's like, yo, talk shit to him.
Come on, Prime.
Yeah, come on, Prime. Come on, Coach Prime, let's see what it's about. And Deion gets down on the thing, and he's like, hold on, I just want to see how it is. And he lifts it, and he's like, all right. And the guy goes to spot him. He goes, no, I don't want that. Get that out of here. You're going to work. You work. And Deion Sanders grabs that bar and just whoosh, right down, up, one, bang, two. Goes, is this enough for you guys? Three. How about another one? Four. And he's just like talking shit. Five. Enough yet? And he's six, and he racks it. And he just gets up and he goes, Don't ever challenge, like something basically, don't ever right. challenge me, and gets on a fucking Segway and just cruises away.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
And the typical Deion way, like,
that's perfect.
You come at the king, you best not miss.
Deion's a guy, and
like, you don't think he would be that strong though.
Right.
And he's like 56
right.
something.
And
years
I bet
old,
you
right?
he could fucking outrun 3/4 of his team, if not the
whole
team.
Well, no, not anymore.
No?
Because he had them toes cut off.
He did?
Yeah, he had an injury, and he had a surgery. And the surgery, something went bad, and he had to have two toes cut off.
Oh, no way. I didn't realize that.
So, like, every day he has to have his legs massaged, or else he's incapable of walking. Like,
wow. Oh, that's
so, sad. Like, they if you see him in the beginning of a game, he'll have, like, a little bounce to him.
Yeah.
But by, like, halftime, his feet are so bad that he can't really.
Damn.
He, like, kind of really hobbles.
That's sad, considering he was once considered like the fastest guy on the planet.
Yeah.
But Deion's a guy that...
I wonder if he gets prosthetic toes in his shoe, if it would help.
I don't know.
Because people do that, where you slide in.
It's thing, yeah.
Like where you slide in and then the other toes, like it would kind of just...
The missing toes are there. Yep. It goes around the toes you have.
Yeah.
And it gives... Yeah, I don't know. But he was... guys like Shaq, I appreciate... I love them as players.
Right.
Appreciate them more now because their personalities back then, no, they're cocky. you know, they're cocky because they can fucking do it.
Oh, yeah. Listen, and I sat here and I said, and I'll stand by it. Deion Sanders as a coach, and you were like, yeah, Coach Prime in Buffalo. And I said, pump the brakes, man. Yeah, you were in Jackson State.
Right.
You were a draw. You were one of the best football players to ever play the game.
Yep.
You're the best at your position to ever play the game.
Right.
So you naturally have athletes coming to you.
Sure.
And those athletes far surpass everybody else in the SWAC.
Right.
Now when you're in the Pac-12 or wherever they are now.
Yeah.
Now when it's equal, and I'm not dissing the guy. I'm not saying he's not a great coach. Well,
we don't know yet.
You
really
don't know.
Right.
But the point is, you got to pump the brakes. Just because you were good here doesn't mean, you know, and talent, I know you're a great player and you're a coach and you can see it.
Yeah.
But talent, Jackson State talent doesn't win in Buffalo or Colorado.
Right.
You need to elevate, like, and a lot of it's going to probably be line,
yep.
line related. Athletes are athletes. They're going to play.
Sure.
But it's rare to get a 6'7", 300-pound guy that can pull with a 5'2", 40.
Right.
You know, and that's big-time college football.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see. You know he is a competitor.
Yeah.
And he's going to make sure he has a competitive product out on the field. We'll see how good he's going to be.
Do you have any? Rabbit hole?
I don't honestly. I was watching a lot of ETIs all week. I'll distribute artists, ETAs.
Okay, I want to recommend. Like I know it's listen. You listen everything 24 Cross related. We're right. good. 24 Cross Media related. Outlaw Blitz, False Confidence, all that. You want to listen all that, and I always push that, but. I'm going to push this other one for a minute, and I think it's important for people to listen to. It is called The Sean Ryan Show, okay? Episode 51, Chris Van Sant. He was a Delta Force operator, and it's two parts.
Yep.
And they're pretty long, but there's a lot, and it's a lot of personal stuff, and... I want to verify this before I say it. I believe. Hold on. I want to see if this is the guy that did it. I thought this was the guy that did it. Anyway, this is a guy that. This guy, Sean Ryan's show, has also had this, not this guy, this other guy, Chris Van Zandt, he was in a group that found Saddam Hussein.
Okay.
They went through the deck of cards, and like, the things that happen, and why our military is so important, and why they are the way they are,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of the traumas that go on with life, and how to navigate those traumas and the process of getting through it, right? Okay. And over it.
Yep.
And it's touched on in those episodes, right? But also on this Sean Ryan podcast is he's had Kristen Beck, the transgender Navy SEAL.
Oh.
A Navy SEAL that transitioned.
Really? Okay.
And then transitioned back.
Whoa.
Yeah, like didn't fully transition, but transition and then realize like, hey, this is a mental thing.
I need to be a dude.
Like I was a dude and I was having a breakdown and that made me think this way, but now I'm back. Like there's only, so you know what I mean? There's some real wow. depth to it.
Yeah.
So when you get in these moments and for a guy like you, like, so. And I didn't see any action. I don't want to sit here and be like, oh, I saw action. I did, but no, I didn't. I had a nothing of a military career. Nothing. But having known the mindset of how you're trained to handle these things, right?
Mm-hmm.
I giggled at some of this stuff where if you listen to it, you'd be like, that's fucking disturbing, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they're talking about like a hostages and I'm laughing at the story, but I'm thinking like, and when this story's going on, I'm literally like, Hyland's got to hear this because you're not going to think the way I thought. Because I've been in a movie theater with you where you were almost puking because the guy got...
Didn't do good in that movie.
No.
Didn't do good.
But it's important for people to hear how these things really go.
Right.
And how the process goes so that it'll help civilians understand what these military guys have to do and how they have to cope with the things that they've seen.
Right.
Like he talked about an entire deck of cards, 52 of the top targets in Iraq, his company got. They cleared an entire deck of cards.
Holy shit.
Think about that.
That's wild.
That's got to fuck. And you become numb to it. You're like, yeah, that's just, yep, you took care of that. Now you come home and you got to process
right
how to live in a normal society when some jerk off, you know, with whatever, whether it's a guy that acts tough or some, you know, fucking numb nuts that wants to get all snooty, cuts you off in traffic and like challenges you
right
in some capacity. Like, you don't understand the way these guys' brains are wired after doing this stuff.
Right. Yeah. We understand desensitization because of what we do.
Yeah.
To that level is a whole new fucking ballgame.
Well, yeah, that's completely different.
We're playing fucking JV football, and these guys are in the pros.
Yeah, your bat speed's nowhere near ready.
No.
Yeah.
No. So, but I can get the concept, but the severity has got to be insane.
Yeah, but I really feel like if there's a thing, and it's anybody that's going through something or has gone through something,
right.
If you listen to the second part specifically, I listened to it, and I've listened to it the last couple days on the way into work, on the way out, on the way in, on the way out. I listened to it probably 20 more minutes while I was waiting for you to get here today. And it's still the same episode. It's a little bit long, but it's so good and it's so deep, and the storytelling of the way this guy's talking, and he's so raw, and he's inspirational, and he's emotional, and he's educational, and it's and there's moments that are unbecoming, you know what I mean? But he's honest, and when you get all that, that's a fucking story.
Yeah,
and it's a story that has to be told,
right?
And it's a story that's got to be respected, even the parts that aren't respectable. Because you're sitting there and you're talking about what you did.
You are in a situation that nobody else can understand.
Him, two other guys, and three Somalians took on like an entire fucking North African war group by themselves. And here he's thinking, you can listen to it, but he thinks he's going to get in trouble, and he gets called to the admiral's office when it's all done. And then... listen to the episode and tell me what you think.
Okay.
It's phenomenal. It's the Sean Ryan podcast. It's on Spotify. You can find it right near us.
Yeah.
And then, it, like I said, it's, you know, you look at episode 51 and it's phenomenal. It's two parts.
Yep.
But the second part is great.
Cool.
And I'll give props. I'm not like, hey, listen to us and only us. No, you need
to hear this.
Like, you need to hear this. It's very good.
Cool.
You got anything going on? Anything else?
No. Only one, I guess, a lighthearted thing to end
what?
On. Our buddy Theo Vaughn again. I don't know where this clip came from. It was him singing at a Jerry Lewis telethon back in like the 80s or 90s.
He was 90s. On Real World?
Was he?
Yeah. Apparently.
I don't remember.
With short hair, no mullet.
But it was fucking funny. The same face, different haircut, singing away. Some like fucking... Robert Palmer sounding rock song.
He's got to be just fucking... Like, that's got to be his wiring.
He's fucking shot. I love him. Funny.
Yeah, funny, but
naturally
shot.
Naturally funny, but shot.
Like he's the real-life Joe Dirt.
For real.
You know?
For real.
Yeah, pretty cool.
All right, bud.
All right, man. I'm all set. You do your thing.
I'm good. So, for GMAC, this is Winnie. This has been the Outlaw Blitz Podcast. And as always, take it deep.